It's your favorite Cone Buzz, and this is your Week 12 NFL Takeaways episode. But Gilbert, here on Cone Buzz on the beat, we don't just stick to football. What should the listeners expect from the program today?
Yeah, you keep saying that, but we mostly talk about football. That's all we know, Fernando. But the best part, though, we have some help talking about football. Danny Daigle's back. Victor Producer's back. It's a full show. But you're right. We don't just stick to football. I think we're going to talk about Steven Spielberg. He's a director, right? He's a pretty famous guy. Oh, God. Talk about his best movies of all time. Maybe some wrestling movies. What? So, what? Yeah. Maybe some World Cup. We do it all.
What? Yeah, I got... What? How does the boxing world integrate with the World Cup? We got that in una mas for you guys. But first, before we present any of that, let's present a guy who's making his comeback, Dan and Dago, and let's see what he's got cooking.
Ugh. Welcome one, welcome all to another glorious Wednesday, right here on your favorite program, Compass on the Beat. You already know what it is. Wednesday does not only mean that it's hump day and you're one day closer to the weekend. It is also an important day of the week because your boys, your compas, drop a new episode. As you already know, we're going to get into our Week 12 takeaways of the NFL. And some stuff's getting wild. It's starting to get, you know, you not only smell the pumpkin spice, you know, weirdo drinks and other things like that. You smell that playoff football in the air. It's starting to get crisp. You already know crunch time is coming. And we're going to get into all that stuff. Don't you worry about nothing. But before we get to your favorite program, do not forget to check out a little House of Horns. What? A little bit of What's Up Bolts? What? A little bit of Combat Compass? What? And the new program in honor of the World Cup, Compass FC. Do not forget to check out all those different ones on YouTube and everywhere else you can find podcasts. Also, do not forget to check us out on social media. We are on all social media platforms. On the little TikToks, TikToks, what? At Compass on the Beat. On the Instagrams, at Compass on the Beat. What? And on the Twitter, at Compass OTB. The OTB is capital. So anyway, let's get to see what shenanigans your boys are up to. As you already know, it's time to get to your favorite program. From all the gray across the hallway, play the music, Nando!
Welcome to Gomez on the Beat. I am Fernando Ramirez. I cover the Chargers for the Sporting Tribune. With me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, Gilbert Manzano. He covers the Rams for the OC Register, LA Daily News. What's up, bro?
Yeah, don't ask me that. Ask yourself, what's up, bro? Like, what's going on with your voice? You sound sick. I'm glad we're doing a virtual podcast because you can't be next to me. I don't trust you right now, Fernando. But you know what? It's about me. You should ask me how I am because I've been to back-to-back road trips, New Orleans, Kansas City. What? So I'm tired. Don't make it about yourself, Fernando.
I'm not going to ask you, oh, hey, how was kick-ass New Orleans and how was Barbecue City, freaking Kansas City. Yeah, I've been dealing with a little bit of a cold over the weekend. Kind of took me out a little bit, but I'm on the road to recovery. So hopefully I'll be good to go before the week gets kicked off. Obviously this week, for me, it's Chargers Raiders week. For you, it is Rams Seahawks. So that'll be interesting. Yeah. But yeah, so what was, let me ask you, what was Kansas City like over the weekend? Now that you're doing Kansas City a whole different way. You're not doing it with the Chargers. Now it's with the Rams.
Yeah, you know, it felt different. Like, you know, when you're on the road with your fellow beat reporters, you can't always get together. Everybody's doing their thing, different flights. Or have a friend in town. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, the game's too early. And it's not always hang out and get drunk like some other people on other beats. We won't name names here, Fernando. But, you know, but when it came to Kansas City, we always got together, I felt like, for on the Chargers beat because it was just barbecue. You can't pass it up. And you went last year, and we just were – somehow we rolled onto the plane. We went to Q39, gates, all that. But this time I finally went to Joe's barbecue with the Rams beat reporter. So it was a little different. You know, it felt wrong, but okay. Fernando, hopefully that was okay with you, me trying a new barbecue place with a different team of beat reporters.
What was it good?
Yeah, Joe's Barbecue. I recommend it. It's a little further out in the city, I want to say, but it's not that bad, like 4 or 5 miles away. It's a long line for the wait. But the cool thing is, like, at Joe's Barbecue, hopefully I'm getting the phone name right, they had like little stops. Like, yeah, you got to stop for the beer line, you got to stop for the souvenir line, and then the food. And by the time you get to the food line, Fernando, and you order your food, it's ready to go. Like, I waited like maybe 2 minutes before my food came out, and it was worth it.
Maybe they looked on your Twitter and they saw you had a blue check mark. So they're like, hey, yeah, you gotta get this. They know who you are.
Nobody even knows about the status. Actually, it's Kansas City, bro. They don't care about, you know, the cashier was asking, like, where are you guys from? We said California. And he was like, there ain't no barbecue out there, huh? No. And he just felt so sorry for us. Yeah, they don't care about blue check marks.
That's pretty funny. Obviously. Now let's get into a little bit of LA or compas on the LA beat. I'm gonna let you go first on this one.
Yeah, Chargers. Yeah, I don't recognize these Chargers, man. They fall behind 10 points. They come back and they win. When I was covering the team, they usually fall behind. They do a rally to mess up my story, and then they usually lose. But not this time around. And it is a kind of a, I think we earlier in the season, we noticed this trend, Fernando. And we were like, okay, when you're winning one score games, that's a sign of a good team. I think Eric Williams went on What's a Bolt and said that too. And that stuck in my head. But this also is a sign of like a young team trying to make it to the playoffs. And usually you kind of like the Vikings, man. Like, you don't know if they're a real like contender or pretender, but they're just winning the one-score games. The good teams are just crushing teams. Like, you know that. So we know this Chargers team, like, the record indicates who they are. You know, they're a fringe wildcard team, and the ones who are going to win those close ones will get to the playoffs. So they're doing that. They're proving that to me. Like, you know what, the New York Jets, their seventh seed, they could catch up to the New York Jets. We'll get to Mike White eventually. But just to kind of win these games, it kind of builds – you know, experience for next year. I don't think they're going to do anything in the playoffs, but to see Justin Herbert and Derwin James, your two best players, doing what they're doing in the last couple of weeks has been very impressive for me. And then, like, it kind of went back to old school Brandon Staley from last year, like, with the cojones, man, the 2-point conversion, yeah. Going for it, winning the game on the great play there. Joe Lombardi took a lot of heat, but what a great play on the 2-point conversion for Herbert, right? Gerald Everett, got open pretty easy, and, gutsy play. I respect it.
Maybe that's what they've been missing this season. I mean, they haven't really, like, they did it once and it was against Cleveland. It was kind of a wacky thing that they did, but they ended up converting it or whatever. And now it's kind of like, okay, like, they got the 2-point conversion. Part of it is the defense. I mean, they were able to hold Arizona in the fourth quarter to punts at the end of the game, which kept the Chargers helped keep the offense in the game. But man, it's just, I'm wondering now if that maybe is kind of hurt the Chargers a little bit, that Staley hasn't been that aggressive this year the way he has been in the past. So, but I mean, obviously injuries and all this kind of stuff. How are you going to go? Like, how are you really realistically going to go for it with, like, Carter, Palmer, and Bandy on the field? Like, yeah, that would be a little bit reckless. But I wrote yesterday on Sunday night, after the game, I wrote that to get into the playoffs, I think Staley's going to need to be aggressive, not reckless, aggressive. I think they're going to have to be more aggressive moving forward if they're going to get into the playoffs. I think we're going to need to see a little bit more forth than Staley or these 2-point conversions going at it. But yeah, it was definitely interesting to see the return of that. And it was a good play call. I mean, very good play. They put Eckler in motion, the corner and Isaiah Simmons kind of bit on Eckler, and one of the corners went with Keenan Allen, so that left Gerald Everett wide open up the middle. So very good play call. I don't think this game should have been as close as what people thought. Not the Chargers game, the Kansas City Chiefs and the LA Rams. I mean, I was thinking about it while I was watching the because I kept my eye on that game too, and I felt bad for you. By the way, the NFL, I think on purpose, only had a handful of games at the beginning because they knew that there was still World Cup soccer on at 11, and they waited till 1:25 to release all their, like, better games, I think, just because they didn't want to mash it up with the World Cup, even though it was all on Fox too. So I don't know. It was just weird. But man, did the Rams defense fought. They fought hard. The offense fought. They fought hard, but they couldn't get it. The Rams may be the worst NFL defending Super Bowl champion, I think, in NFL history. Vic, the producer, was giving us some stats. One of them was, where is it? It's right here, that the Rams last week at 3-7 was the worst record in 10 games by a defending champion since 1999, which were the Denver Broncos, who were also 3-7. The Denver Broncos had already lost John Elway. So Matthew Stafford is still here. He's just been through some injuries. That's been pretty bad. Vic also told us that the 2013 Ravens didn't do well the year after Joe Flacco went on that amazing run, and they won the Super Bowl, and then obviously the 81 Raiders. Gilbert, these Rams, just because of all the injuries and everything going on, these Rams might be worse than any of those teams because, I mean, everybody else, I mean, I think Flacco that year got paid, but I think he was hurt most of the year. Obviously, the Broncos lost Elway, but these Rams might be worse than all these other teams. I mean, they look pedestrian at best. I don't think they could beat anybody moving forward towards the end of the season. They may end up 3-14. And the worst part about it is, Gilbert, they're not even tanking for Bryce Young. They're not even tanking for a high draft pick. They're tanking for a high second round draft pick. So I don't know. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, you know, say they were fully healthy, you know, I think this team might maybe be lucky to win 6 games, but they're not healthy. That's at crazy. All.
Even fully healthy, they may only win 6 games.
Because they were bad for like the first 8 games of the year. And
Allen Robinson was nowhere to be found.
Like, I don't know. Like, part of me was, when I saw the Bryce Perkins was going to start, like, I was a little excited. Okay, finally, change something up, because what you were doing for the first 8 games, it was boring, it was stale, it was just give it the Cooper Cup. And then kind of was like, oh, now I know where Bryce Perkins was kind of a preseason guy. He can't really throw the ball. But at least he was making plays with his legs. I'm like, Stafford couldn't do that. So to get the third down and move the chains. But going back to the whole thing about being the worst Super Bowl defending champion, like, I don't think this team could win a game. And because, like, the ones that are kind of winnable are the Raider game, but the Raiders still have their guys, like Derek Carr, all those guys, Devontae Adams and Josh Jacobs. Like, the Rams don't even have Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, what? Matthew Stafford. What? Oh, and now Aaron Donald, the best defensive player in the world. Play the Broncos, but the Broncos still have Russell Wilson. Is that a good thing? I don't know. And then who else do they play? They play the Packers. Could be Jordan Love. So they are winnable games on the schedule. The Packer one is in Green Bay, which I'm kind of worried about going traveling-wise. But so there's 3 winnable games.
Did you go to Green Bay?
What was that?
You go to Green Bay?
Yeah, I go to Green Bay December 19th, Monday Night Football.
Frozen Mexican. Come and watch the Frozen Mexican.
There you go. It will be more entertaining than the actual game there. But then they play the Seahawks twice. I'm guessing 2 losses there. And then who do they play?
You get to go to Seattle?
Oh, they play the Chargers. Yeah, I get to go to Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be ugly. Maybe they win one because, like you mentioned, they fought hard. So they're not really, like, I thought they were kind of checking in mentally, like they were out of it, like they were checking out. And then I saw this case again. I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe I think they really like Perkins, and they wanted to make sure the guy got a fair shake, and they fought hard for him. So I don't know. Maybe it'll be interesting to see what happens with the quarterback controversy. Like, if Stafford can't go, are you going back to Wolford? I hope not. Or Perkins, and it's kind of like, I guess. But yeah, we could talk about this all day, but they are pretty atrocious defending Super Bowl champion.
They're going to go get that little kid that was against Cam Newton. He's like rubbing up my arm.
Well, they do have Case Cook is on the roster in case you want to know his bio.
By the way, we may have a surprise for you guys, Rams versus Chargers week. Huh, Gilbert? There may be a surprise in store for the listeners.
But maybe by then I'll be mentally checked out and I don't want to do a show.
No. Yes, you do. Yes, especially because the surprise will be fun. Okay. All right, let's move on now to Compas on the NFL. Gilbert, I'll let you go first. What was your biggest takeaway of week 12?
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with the Cincinnati Bengals, and to beat a very physical, stout Tennessee Titans team. Like, come on, let's be real. Like, the Titans, nobody ever picks them to be a Super Bowl contender to win it all, but they're always like in the mix, right? Like, they'll flame out in the first or second round. But they play hard and they play smash mouth football. This type of football doesn't work, by the way, Danny Dagle. I don't think he's around right now backstage. But Derrick Henry and those guys put a whooping on you. They'll make you hurt. And I didn't think the Bengals were that type of team to hang tough. They beat the Titans, though, last year. Maybe they are. But they didn't have Ja'Marr Chase, no Joe Mixon. So it was pretty much Joe Burrow and T. Higgins out there who had a great game. And now to be 7-4, right in the mix there. And maybe Ja'Marr Chase comes back this week for a big-time game. I want to say the Chiefs, right? That's going to be a showdown right there. So I think the Bengals are, you know, speaking about the Super Bowl teams from last year, the Rams and the Bengals, opposite directions for the Rams. The Rams are done. I think the Bengals are now ascending at the right time. And to have that big victory over the Titans without two of their best players was big. And then I think one of their linemen was talking crap to the Titans crowd. I love that. Well, what do you say? Like, shove it, Tennessee, or take it, Tennessee, or something like that. I loved it.
He used a four-letter word.
You could say it if you want, Fernando. We might get flagged here.
He said F-U Tennessee.
Wow. So I kind of like that intensity. He went full heel. Full heel for these Bengals. I'm buying it. Heel Burrow. That kind of sounds funny, right?
There you go.
Yeah. That's my take.
You know what? I was closer to choosing the Bengals as well because I like what they're doing right now, and I think they're going to get hot at the right time. I'm just waiting for this game against Kansas City this weekend. I think it's in Cincinnati again, which last year, remember, Ja'Marr Chase went off for 200 yards. They couldn't stop him. They couldn't slow him down. Who knows? Maybe that's going to be the same story this weekend. But if the Cincinnati Bengals beat Kansas City this weekend, holy smokes, everybody should watch out because that team's coming. So I'm with you. I think the Bengals are in a good spot. Mine is, holy crap, the NFC East was – everybody was calling it a joke before the season started. People were like, oh, no, this division's going to be trash. This division's probably the best in football right now. I mean, if you go and look at it, and I have something here. If you go look at this division, look at the playoffs. If the playoffs started right now, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Commanders would all be in it. All four teams.
Commanders came out of nowhere, man.
They came out. They've gotten hot ever since Taylor Heineke took over for Carson Wentz.
7-5.
By the way, guess what I got for you? Did you know that Russell Wilson has thrown one more touchdown than Carson Wentz? Carson Wentz has not played since week 6 of the NFL season.
Ouch.
So I heard about it today on Ding Me All You Want, Pat McAfee Show.
There you go.
I couldn't believe that stat. I was like, oh, crap.
We'll get into it, but, man, those Broncos are terrible.
But, there's no other division like it. I mean, I guess you can point right now at the Dolphins, the Jets, the Patriots. The Bills. But really, like, the Patriots aren't in it. Never mind. You can point at three out of the four teams being in there, but these guys have all four teams in there. And Gilbert, I think it's going to stay with all four teams being in there. I don't think Seattle catches up. I don't think and look, Washington still has a bye week to go.
What do you mean? Seattle plays the Rams twice. There's a chance.
Yeah, but I think Washington right now is playing hard, and they still don't have Chase Young yet. Wait till they get Chase Young. They're going to get even better, but that's my takeaway. I think the NFC East is the best. I know they used to make fun of it and call it the NFC Least, but they're the best division in football. Gilbert, there's still six weeks left in the season with enough samples of games played in the season to know which are contenders, which are pretenders. How many teams do you feel like are Super Bowl contenders right now as we hit the crucial part of the NFL season?
Yeah, I love this question because I feel like shout out to Victor Producer for this question because I feel like after Thanksgiving, it's when you know who are the real contenders. Well, it's real football, big boy football. Get out of here, frauds and pretenders. So I have six teams on my list, and maybe their record is not the best right now, but I feel like they're going to be right for the playoffs. And maybe it's a little unfair because my list is a lot about experience. What have you shown to me lately instead of kind of like who's going to do something well? But I don't care. It's my list here. Chiefs are definitely in there as a real contender. The Bills as well. These are easy. The Bengals beating the Titans got into the list. I think they're going to be a contender. The Eagles are the new kids in town, but to be 10-1, you're doing something right. You're going to be a contender for sure. The 49ers, man, we're going to talk about that injury from Trey Lance and Jimmy G. Like, when Jimmy G came into this team and became the starter, it kind of was like, okay, you're an actual contender, because we've seen what you could do with Jimmy G. And now Christian McCaffrey, I know the record is not great, and it was like 13-0 against the Saints, but I think the 49ers know how to play postseason football. I believe in them. And then same thing with the Buccaneers. We've seen the Buccaneers, not the best record, but I'm not going to count out Tom Brady.
I'm actually with you on all six of those teams. I think those are the six teams. Yeah, no, there's no other team that I could point at to be like, oh, that team. No, those are the six
Vikings
teams.
Vikings and
that
the Dolphins have good records, but we're not buying.
Yeah. I think the Super Bowl champion this year is going to be somebody that we did not expect. We haven't talked about all season, and for some reason, that damn Bengals keeps on lighting up for me. The Bengals is one of those teams that nobody's talked about as a Super Bowl contender this year, and I think they're going to get hot right now, and they're going to get hot at the right time. And that'll help Fernando Wright why the Chargers need a Jamar Chase after the season's over. I'm kidding. No,
Can you also write that Jamar Chase, when he got injured my fantasy football season, went to, you know what?
Really? Did he really?
Yeah. And he's coming back now, and it's a little too late, but whatever. I was in a roll when Jamar Chase was healthy, but whatever. That's me complaining by myself.
He's also isn't he? Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. Now it's time for a compa of the week. Gilbert, who is your compa of the week?
What did I have here on the run? Oh, actually, yeah, this is kind of a little random.
You went with the future Head and Shoulders candidate.
Yeah, because Trevor Lawrence, man, number one pick quarterback last year, and people thought Trevor Lawrence was a better prospect than Justin Herbert and even Joe Burrow. So, you know, for a while, I'm like, okay, I want to give this guy a pass because he was coached by Urban Meyer for a year. Okay, he almost got ruined by that. I want to see him with Dougie P. And, like, for the first half of the year, I'm like, I don't know about Trevor Lawrence, man. Like, he misses a lot of throws, inaccurate, kind of, sporadic out there. Doesn't have a good touch on the ball. I don't know about the command of the offense. He's kind of like a – I shouldn't say it because Justin Herbert was a quiet dude, but he's kind of like a quiet dude. I don't know. You don't really hear about people playing for him or, like, toughness. And then the last couple of weeks, man, like, he's been on a good one. Like, you know how you mentioned the Rams playing tough with the Chiefs. He played tough with the Chiefs as well, showing chemistry with Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, and having that scheme with Doug Peterson and beating the Ravens, Lamar Jackson. That was a good win. And I like the accuracy from Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, I'm not breaking down his film, but when I'm seeing some of these highlights, I'm like, okay, that's the number one pick right there from last year. And get to see Trevor Lawrence doing his thing because, is he 2020? He's 2021, right? So he was the Zach Wilson year, and he's not doing too well.
The Manhattan MILF Hunter. No, he's not. He's not doing too well.
Yeah.
No, I can't. I'm going to go with Josh Jacobs. I'm going to show him a little bit of love. Ever since Derek Carr had that emotional speech, that riveting speech, the Raiders have won two in a row. I think it's been on the back of Josh Jacobs. I really do think that the dude's been – he's been on fire. I mean, he's had his best season this year. He 144 against the Broncos week four, 154 at Kansas City, 143 against Houston, 109 against Denver this last week or 2 weekends ago, and then 229 and two tutties against the Seattle Seahawks. And then he busted that 86-yard that 86-yard touchdown to win the game. Big backs aren't supposed to move that quickly. He moved that quickly. I don't even think the safeties touched him at all. And he was able to score the game winner, so kudos to him. He's really on fire right now, and he's playing a Chargers team that doesn't know how to bring down running backs, so that's going to be interesting to see how that does. And then he's being more of a beast also in the pass game. 74 yards. This week, 51 the week before. So basically this week he had 300 yards of offense. That's nuts. Like the dude's literally on one. And I think it all started when Josh McDaniels fucking made him play in the NFL Hall of Fame
preseason.
Yeah, that was terrible.
You know what else too? Also fired him up, Fernando, when Victor said he's either underrated running back in the NFL, and we both laughed. You know, he's playing on it there.
So. That probably is true too. I don't know if the Raiders will regret not bringing him back for the fifth-year option. Well, you know what? They'll have to regret it because they're not going to be able to pay him a rookie salary. They're going to have to up his pay. I just wonder if he's going to be able to duplicate this moving forward, because we've seen it before. We've seen running backs. We've seen receivers have career years the year before they're supposed to get paid. Then they get paid, and it all goes to crap. So we'll see what happens with that. But, Gilbert, now it's time for our top five, our power rankings this week. I'll let you go first.
After you made me do the contenders power rankings, how can I change? So it's kind of like a pointless task here. Sorry. Chiefs, Eagles, Bills, Bengals, 49ers, my top five.
Okay. Well, mine actually doesn't change. Oh. I'm going to wait for the Bengals again. I want to see what they do this weekend. So I'm going to go Chiefs, Eagles, Bills, 49ers, and Cowboys. I still have the Cowboys up there. Again, I just want to see what the Bengals can do this weekend against the Chiefs, and then I'll see what it is. But the Chiefs are still impressive to me. The Eagles are obviously they had a good game against the they hadn't really scored that many points, and they came out and they scored against Green Bay's defense, who honestly people might joke about them, but I think the Green Bay defense is a lot better than what people think. All right, now it's time for rapid fire, Gilbert. Do Cliff Kingsbury or Nathaniel Hackett make it to the end of the season? Kyler Murray had that 4th-and-1 interception where he threw it and Derwin James intercepted him. And he was asked about it. And he's like, schematically, we're kind of fucked. So that was pretty funny to see. And then defensive lineman Mike Purcell yelled at Russell Wilson. I actually have that for you, Gilbert. Our good friend Troy Rank has the clip. I don't know if you've seen it. This is what Russell Wilson had to say after the game.
Kind of on the same page, you know. He was pissed off. He just said, "We got to F and go," you know. And I agree.
F and go,
you know. Me and him on the same page. We, you know, there's no animosity there at all. We're on the same page. We got to win. You know, we got to come out here and have some grit to us, some mentality to us. We got to be able to win these football games. And
I gotta go first. Do you think either one of them makes it to the offseason or makes it through the season, Cliff Kingsbury or Nathaniel Hackett? My second question is, do you believe that Mike Purcell actually told him we gotta effing go?
I wish it wasn't a rapid fire because there's so much to break down here. I think both make it actually. You can't fire a first year head coach. At least let him go all the way. And I think Kingsbury, you're already here. Might as well finish the whole season. I think they both get fired at the end of the year.
And he got an extension. Yeah,
he did. But real quick, Purcell, I know the name. He's a good starter, but is he the right guy to be yelling at the franchise quarterback like that? I don't know. But that kind of just shows you how frustrated he is. And I do believe it. I think he was just like, dude, go score. Like, he's so frustrated. And to see this team always get like 10 points, 12 points, like that's what the Rams were doing with Stafford and Kupp. And at some point the defense does get frustrated. So I think Russell Wilson handled it properly because he knows his offense sucks. It came like Zach Wilson and be like, I don't care about but go ahead. Sorry.
No. I think those guys make it to the end of the season. I think Russ, I don't think he said what people think he said. Russ's face was blank and he was just shaking his head. He had to have said something way more aggressive. Mm. And I think Russ was kind of shocked by this was standing up. But I think that you're going to just keep on getting more and more of this the more it happens. The defense is frustrated. The defense is stopping offenses and the offense can't score any points. So I think we're just going to see more frustration.
The defense is going to mentally check out because they're not in the playoff race.
100% is, and you don't want a young kid like Patrick Surtain to check out because he's one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, and you don't want his mentality to be like that moving forward. Gilbert, did Kirk Cousins win back some points for you? Is he okay to put on the chains after what he did to the Vikings and Bill Belichick his Vikings did to Bill Belichick and the Patriots in primetime on Thanksgiving? He went 30 of 37, 299 yards, 3 TDs. 1 INT, and he besides this, he was 0-2 in his career against Bill Belichick. Did he get some points back? Is he allowed to wear the chains?
He got some points back, but no, you cannot wear the chains. A week after he got crushed 40-3, so no, hold off on the chains for a while. But I guess primetime Kirk, I don't know if he's really back. So he has to do like on a Monday night, right? Or a Sunday night football, yeah. Or Thursday night football. Thanksgiving doesn't really count, but to beat Bill Belichick in a tough Patriots defense, you get some points to kind of steer the ship back in. I respect that.
I agree with you. I mean, I'm not a participation award guy. Dude, you're getting paid so much money to play the position. You got to win some of the, you got to win a lot of these games. I don't see you winning these games. So no, I can't give you a high five. I don't think you deserve. That's why when he wore those chains, I was like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you're not in the playoffs. Like, you got to wait. You can't just self-anoint yourself.
You know what's worse? Taylor Heineke doing the same thing. Like, get your own trend.
Whoa, leave Taylor Heineke alone. He's out there balling.
he looks like the guy from Meet the Millers, by the way.
Oh, the Kenny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are getting paid?
That's actually a good one. Hey, Kenny, you want to get our shit? All right, Gilbert, there's two wild card spots up for grabs. Right now it is the Jets who are, I believe it's the Jets who are in possession of it. And there's a, oh, no. Okay, my bad. Who gets the last two wild card spots in the AFC? Is it the Jets, the Patriots, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Chargers, or the Colts?
Is it my three wild card? Okay, but we're going to. Bengals for sure. Maybe they win the division, though. I don't know. It's a trick question.
Right now, the way it looks, the Bengals have the sixth. Yeah. So the Bengals have the – so it's Kansas City – okay, so it's Baltimore 4, Buffalo 5, Cincinnati 6, and the Jets 7th. So basically it's a fight between the Jets, the Patriots, the Chargers, and the Colts for that final 7th spot.
I think the Bengals bump off the Ravens, get the division. I want to like the Jets. I'm going to say the Jets stay in there. The Ravens are out after Lamar Jackson's frustrated tweet comment. They're kind of going downhill. They can't win these one-score games. They're just I don't know what's going on with them. And I'm just for your brother's sake, I'm going to stay away from the Chargers. Well, I guess I don't know, actually. Colts are in the mix? I don't know. Keep the Ravens. I don't want to mess up your brother's mojo.
Yeah.
I'm all over the place.
I think the Ravens, the Bengals, they stay in. I don't know if I can give it to the Jets. I just...
Mike White.
Jets at Vikings loss. Jets at Bills loss. Lions at Jets. That could be a win. Jaguars at Jets. Jets at Seahawks. That could be a loss. Jets at Dolphins. Yeah, no, the Jets don't keep it. Let's see.
Look at you doing your homework.
Well, I mean, I just – Bills at Patriots. Patriots win. Patriots at Cardinals. I think the Cardinals will win that one. Patriots at Raiders. Hell, the Raiders could beat the Patriots. Bengals at Patriots. Dolphins at Patriots. Patriots at Bills. Jeez. Wow.
Pick your teams. Just say the Chargers and call it a day.
No, I can't. I haven't seen anything. And then I keep on thinking, okay, well, Joey's going to come back. But then Joey just put last night or on Monday, on Sunday night on Instagram, which I had first, by the way,
I was surprised he actually posted something. He's not really a social media guy.
That he's not going to come back, that he's trying to come back and that everything's fine. But
he never had a post like that during my tenure there. So
I know. That's interesting. I can't go with the Jets. I'm going to have to go with the Patriots. I'll say the Patriots hold on and they get that. I can't even do that.
Mike White.
I can't go with the Jets. You heard that Jets schedule. Come on, get out of here.
Mike White had 300 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. I don't care.
No, I'm going to go. I'm going to go with the Patriots.
Whatever.
I'm going to go with the Patriots.
Yeah, the guy who doesn't believe in Bill Belichick, but sure.
No, I don't. Well, whatever. Who cares? I do. No, whatever. I don't care. All right.
Continue. This is supposed to be a rap for a rap. Come on.
Justin Jefferson leads the league in Pro Bowl votes, but he should he lead the MVP race, Gilbert? What do you think?
No, but he should be top three. I'll say that. I think for sure it's Patrick Mahomes right here, and then I think Justin Jefferson might be number two. Why not? Keep him at least in the race, a contender. Say it was like a Heisman Trophy ceremony. It would be like Mahomes. It would be Justin Jefferson. Who'll be the third? Maybe Josh Jacob. I don't know. But definitely put him in the race, but it's definitely Patrick Mahomes. I don't know.
I agree it's going to be Patrick Mahomes. I'll put Justin Jefferson second. Yeah, I'll put him second with you. And third, I don't know. Who cares? Nobody ever remembers a third place one. So, yeah, Tua, I'll say Justin Jefferson.
How about what? Tua? 8-0 Tua.
Okay, so moving on. no, if anything, Mike McDaniel deserves that MVP trophy. All right.
Undefeated when he starts.
Would you give Tua the MVP?
No. But he could be top three.
No. Gilbert, is it time for the Packers to hand things over to Jordan Love?
Yes. What's the Packers record? 4-7 or 3-8? I lost track. 4-8. Yeah, the season's over. Shut it down, Aaron Rodgers. Go take a backpack trip in the Himalayas or whatever, Appalachian. I don't know. One of those mountains. And give Jordan Love a crack there. Like, he's like, what? He's third year now, first round pick, you know, comes in, has a touchdown right away. The guy's ready. Let's see what he can do. I know he had a couple of starts last year and it was a little shaky. But you got to find out eventually this guy's a guy or not. But also, I know Aaron Rodgers is due like $80 million. So who knows?
Many people really hate Aaron Rodgers. I don't know why. They used to love him.
He's kind of a sleaze. I don't know.
All of a sudden, because he tricked all the media people and everybody hates him now.
He didn't trick me.
Well, not you, but the media people up there. The only way I could do this is if I'm coming to Aaron Rodgers, I sit down with him and I say, Aaron, we thank you for your service for these years with the Patriots or with the Packers, but we will be trading you. Well, we will be trading you to whatever team you'd like or whatever team you'd like in the offseason. We think it's time for Jordan Love with some of these young receivers. We know you've grown frustrated, but these are the young receivers that we want Jordan to grow up with. So we want to thank you for your time here, but we're going to move on. Whatever team you want to get traded on, if you want to retire, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. But we're willing to work with you to find a trade partner for you. So that's the only way I do that. If they're ready to move on to Jordan Love, then you have to trade Aaron Rodgers in the offseason, and that's the only way I do it. But alas, obviously, I am not in charge of a team. So now it is time to bring on Vic, the producer. Vic, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was great. I had a good time and got capped off with that big Raiders win.
What were you doing when Josh Jacobs went and rumbled for that game-winning touchdown?
I was actually prepping for the Rams post-game show, believe it or not.
House of Horns.
House of Horns, baby. Yeah, that's what I was getting ready for. So, yeah, I was prepping for that. I was going over things with Gilbert while he wrote his story. So it was pretty cool to see as I was doing that. But it's good to be back. I missed you guys last week.
Yeah, he had a 1 week off.
Yeah, a week. I didn't even ask you. How was your Thanksgiving?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks for asking. Wow.
You didn't ask me.
That was cool. I don't know.
Because you don't care.
You got me in such an awkward spot that I want you to bring on your boat.
He wants Dan and Dago on. Always and forever. This stooge is Dan and Dago's biggest fan, even though he won't admit it. I just want to say Thanksgiving is great. It's a great time of the year, and you bet your ass I'm loving and cheering on the downfall of the Packers and Matt LaFleur. I love it. I drank my Haterade this morning. I'm amped up.
Every single week you want to just, you know, run that truck over them, huh?
100%. And you know what? I'm filling that sumbitch up every single week again, and I'm ready to put it in reverse and go back and forth, dude.
All right. Well, Vic, what was your biggest takeaway from
when it snows? What was your biggest takeaway from week 12?
My biggest takeaway was something you kind of touched on earlier. Josh Jacobs and the Raiders are 2-0 since we saw Derek Carr crying at his presser. It's been interesting to see this team as they've gone through the season. Josh McDaniels has finally gotten things going, as you talked about, Fernando, earlier. He knows what his best three players are, you know, Max Crosby, Devontae Adams, and Josh Jacobs. And he's feeding on offense, he's feeding those guys with Devontae Adams and Josh Jacobs. And Max Crosby, 10.5 sacks. They kind of turned their season around. I still don't see them doing anything the rest of the season, but at least it's good to see that they're heading in the right direction for next season. And they found their identity, and I don't see McDaniels getting fired after what they've been able to do, especially against a good Broncos defense. I know, you know, you can, you know, and especially two straight road wins. That was impressive as well.
Dan, do you know why they're 2-0? Because Jerry Tillery's on that team.
I forgot about Jerry Tillery. Like that guy Love is Blind.
Have you heard his name, Victor, called Jerry Tillery?
Yes, I have. Actually, I heard a couple of people point it out. I know I saw a tweet from Fernando, something like, who? When someone tweeted out that he was making his presence felt.
He made his presence felt for the offensive lineman whose spirits have been shaken. They said, who's that poor some bitch 15 yards downfield? Oh, that's Jerry Tillery, former first-round pick.
Game. Vinny tweeted out that Jerry Tillery had an incredible presence stopping the run, it's a presence that the Raiders haven't had in a lot of years. I looked up his stats and he only had one tackle.
It's good to see old habits die hard. I had a lot of stooges in my own organization tell me that supposedly this guy was a second coming. You know, better than sliced bread, some Warren Sapp or something. I didn't see it, and it looks like Dan and Daigle was right.
So what was your week 12 takeaway?
My week 12 takeaway is that, I've gotten a lot of flack talking about quarterbacks on this program, and this is the other thing I'm going to say about quarterbacks. I think quarterback decision-making is at an all-time low. Like, for whatever reason, in this year, they would rather take sacks than throw the football away, and it makes no sense to me. I don't understand it. It drives me insane. Frau is my witness. We'll be watching Charger games or whatever. And before I say this, you know, so all the stooges, I love Justin Herbert. You can criticize the people you like constructively. But there's times where he's trying to run for a yard or two and gets blasted. And I'm like, why not throw it away? Then there's other times where he's trying to run a screen or some swing route or something like that, and the guy is right on top of the receiver, and he throws it out his ass anyway, and, obviously gets tackled in bounds sometimes, the clock's running and stuff like that. But it's like I don't understand why people don't understand the concept of, you know, you live to fight another down. Like, that's what it is. The worst thing you can do is go backwards every single time. And it's like before, you know, in Peyton's era – well, Tom Brady's still playing, but in those type of eras, in the Drew Brees era, they would always show the clock of how fast they get rid of the ball, how fast they get rid of the ball, how fast they get rid of the ball. And now it's like the clock's the opposite. It's how long they hold on to it, trying to, you know, maneuver and everything else and go for the home run hit. To me, it's ridiculous. I don't think, you know, obviously if it works, it works, but I don't think it always works. And it's ridiculous.
It only works for one guy.
Exactly. And like Pat Mahomes, he tried that no look pass crap and he threw a pick on Sunday in the red zone, dude.
He starts capping me. He's like, Fernando, did you see what he just did? I'm like, what? He tried that no look crap and I started laughing.
Hey, Justin Herbert called. He said he wants you to take the knife off out of his back.
No.
Come on, you know, man. What?
You're not going to do this. It doesn't work like that, pal. I've been his biggest defender since day one.
What did he do at the Super Bowl?
Oh, he offered him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
We locked eyes. I locked eyes with the
center. And you offered him a crustable.
He shook your
hand. Yeah, I did. I did offer him an uncrustable. But that's the thing. I love Brandon Staley. I love Brandon Staley. I've been critical sometimes of him, and it's not that I hate him. I'm not trying to – I don't want him fired. You know what I mean? Like, there, you can criticize constructively people you like or whatever you want, right?
It's not, yeah, we do it with each other.
It's not the soft mentality that I'm trying to bury people. I only bury you.
All right. Well, it's time for NFL picks. Obviously, we didn't have any picks last week. This week, we'll be doing five games to make up for that. Four games, sorry. We'll be doing four games. Right now, as the standings are, Fernando is no longer in the basement. It is Kirk, the one-eyed cat.
Really?
He is 19-25. I am 20-24. Gilbert is 21-23. And we have a tie for the lead. Vic and Dan are both 24-20. So things are about to get interesting. The week 11 results are, well, no. All right, we're going to be picking this week. Now let's see what Kirk decided to choose. There's Kirk, the one-eyed cat. He said, y'all losers think I'm just giving you guys a head start. 49ers and the Dolphins. He's going, oh, no, Kyle Shanahan's got this to a who. Next one, Bengals Chiefs. He's going, nope, I got Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow. Next one is Eagles and Titans. Oh, he's looking at the Titans. He's going to go with Derrick Henry. Wow, that's impressive. All right, next one, Vikings and Jets. He's saying, oh, I believe in Mike White. Give me Mike White. Wow, that's interesting.
Some All of right. these are such 50-50 this week, too.
I'm These are some good games, me. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. These are really good games. Let's go first, Jets at Vikings. Vic.
Give me the Vikings at home.
I'll take the Vikings as well. Dan?
Yeah, I was going to take the Vikings also at home.
Oh, that's going to be funny. Gilbert?
Oh, man. You
have to do it. I'll show you've been talking about him.
I have, huh?
Go with the firefighter.
All right, fine. Give me the Jets. I don't care. You guys put me into that one. I don't care.
There you go. All right. Titans at Eagles. Vic.
Titans at Eagles. Give me the Eagles.
Dan.
Cuckoo! Cuckoo!
Gilbert.
Okay. Quick story. I saw an American, true American bald eagle on my trip to New Orleans when I was kayaking in the swamps of New Orleans in the bayou.
You see any gators?
In the bayou.
No, the whole point was to see gators, but we saw the bald eagles. And we saw like two. But yeah, give me the eagles.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
You would want to see gators in a kayak? Are you an idiot?
No, trust me. I didn't want to. I was scared, but my partner chose it.
The law firm. I was about to say, dude, like a kayak's not the most sturdy.
I was scared the whole time. I'm like, I'm not going to that side. I'm not going to that side. We stay in the middle.
My money is Caroline would have wrestled the gator while Gilbert sat there and went, oh my God, no, be careful.
I would have called for help, okay?
I would have paid money to see you panic. I'm sure you didn't wear white pants that day, that's for sure.
I don't know why I just saved the story for now, but yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go I'm going to go with the Eagles as well. I think the Eagles are playing way too well right now. Here these next two games, I think we're going to be split on. Chiefs at Bengals. Yeah. Vic.
Give me the Bengals.
Oof. Dan.
They're on the road?
The Chiefs are.
You know what? Because it's not playoff time, and this is going to hurt me, but I love the head coach. I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Pom-poms. Put them out.
Gilbert.
Shut up, idiot. That's you. So excited. Texting me all Sunday that you're back in Kansas City.
yeah, I was devastated when I threw that pick, but that's so unlike the guy. But yeah.
Did you hear about that one reporter that when Patrick Mahomes was walking off, he got his white jeans dirty because he kneeled over and he was paying respect to him.
TV
Did
reporter.
You see that other idiot reporter making a tic-tac of showing him walking through the alley also? So idiots.
That TikTok.
I think they're the same reporter.
I'm just kidding. I know it was you.
Hey, hopefully you like this, Scrooge.
Oh, of course I do. I'm your biggest cheerleader. You already know that. Obviously, thank for Al's first, the lineage, the bloodline, and everything else, because he the one.
Okay, and you're the two. Jamar Chase coming back for one first game back. I think he'll be rusty. I think the Chiefs want revenge for last year. So, you know, surprise, surprise, I'm going with the Chiefs.
I'm going to go with the Bengals as well.
You, there's no revenge.
I'm going to go with the Bengals as well. This one's going to be really interesting. Dolphins at 49ers. Vic.
Give me the 49ers. I like what their defense is doing right now.
Dan.
Yeah, I'm going to take the 49ers also. The protege hardly beats the master the first go around, that's for sure. Look at Saban's record against former assistants. Same with Belichick, I think.
Because
you still need to rectify yourself. Don't think I've forgotten.
What? Look, what assistant head coach has actually done well? That doesn't matter.
Belichick himself is the freaking goat.
Gilbert, who you got?
I love that debate, but I already used my one upset on the freaking Jets, which I regretted. I probably would have got Miami here, but yeah, you're right. The Master is gonna get, it's gonna get it, and then they're at home too. So give me the 49ers.
We all went 49ers, right?
Oh, I'm gonna go Dolphins.
Oh, you want to be different?
I'll use my upset on this one. I'll go Dolphins. I don't know. For some reason, it's calling my name.
That would be 2-9-0 when he completes the game, right, as a starter.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. It's Mike McDaniel.
Okay. I can't wait to see, you know, that underthrown ball by 15 yards just sit in.
You not interrupt the music? Come on.
Huh?
Don't interrupt the music. Keep rolling, rolling, rolling.
Oh, my God.
You're going to ruin it.
I'm going to let Vic go first. Vic, go ahead and give us your burial of the week.
Mine is FIFA and the corrupt presidents. You know something? It's been terrible watching the World Cup and how bad the play has been because they pushed the season for some of these clubs way too much compact. And now we've seen how bad the play has been in terms of the games. And then you also have the president, what's his name? Gianni, whatever, I forget his last name. Before the tournament starts, he says, I am, you know, immigrant. I am, you know,
gay.
And, you know, it's just, it's really bad taste to get out there, do a press conference, and just have a really bad take. And you know, especially when you know that people died, you know, they brought in immigrant workers to work on those stadiums. It's just been really bad to see all the way around, you know. And please, I can't wait for the World Cup to be in the summer again, because this has really affected the way things, you know, has gone in this World Cup. I hope things get better, but yeah, it's been a bad look for FIFA, and I blame FIFA for this. It has nothing to do with the clubs; it has to do with their organization and how they run things.
Well said, Victor. But I think soccer is born any time of the year.
Shut up, Suge. Shut up. No one cares about your opinion on this. But FIFA's been terrible for years, dude. I'm sure the Suge saw. Was it you who was talking about the documentary about FIFA?
Documentary. I was not shocked. I was like, it's really bad.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You guys like to watch it though.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it.
Of course I do. Bro, what I'm worried about, I'm watching these games. Every time I see a Real Madrid player go down, I'm like, oh dear God, no, please God. I was like, we have a title to defend. Forget the World Cup, dude.
All right. Dan, give us your burial. Oh wait, no. So no, you're gonna be the main event. Gilbert, no. Gilbert, go ahead.
Over.
Oh, you wanna hear. You want to hear what he's going to do.
It's my show.
Wow.
It's Dan and Dago's show. Roberto!
Okay.
That's the only one I'm out of
breath now. Then, since I'm not the main event, I'm going to get two. Real quick, Mexico for going for a scoreless tie. I don't know. Choose a word you want to say, Dan and Dago, for
idiot.
That
the
move.
The manager's an idiot. The manager's an idiot. The manager's an idiot. The manager's an idiot.
What do you say, bitch made cash? Here you go. scoreless ties are awful. And two, my Uber driver, I'm sure he's a nice guy from Kansas City. I had a 4 a.m. flight. or at a 4 a.m. pickup to go to the airport. And the airport from where I was staying to KC is pretty far. It's like 30 minutes. And this guy was blasting. I mean, blasting. Like, he had like a
Cadillac. The weather outside is...
Yeah. It was... And imagine me. I don't want anybody to talk to me. He didn't talk to me. That was cool. I was just blasting Christmas music for 30, 40 minutes. And there was a couple of like, church songs in there, too. So I was like, ugh.
There he is. There he
Burial
is.
Of the week.
Real question, though. What do you prefer, him chatting your ear off for 30 minutes or silence and Christmas music for 30? Real hard. You see, I'm a journalist. Do you see this?
Yeah, that's a good question. I got
my little badge right here asking the hard questions.
It's funny, tough, because this guy was, I'm not kidding, he was blasting it really loud, the music. But definitely the music over him trying to talk to me. I hate it.
All right, I'm going to go with mine. Washington Commanders, you've done good. You've done some bad.
Oh, yeah.
What in the hell was this? This is embarrassing. Sean Taylor was an incredible, like, he was an incredible human, an incredible player. He was a fantastic human being. I don't know what other way to put it, but it was embarrassing the way that they did the statue for. He should have had a statue. He should have had something else. This is terrible. This looks like they're selling the product. I know that they have the Reebok pants and everything, but did you know actually that he was one of the first football players ever to wear soccer cleats?
At least I got that right.
So that was pretty cool. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. But excuse me. But I mean, come on. Like, look at here's the video of it. It just like look at that. Like,
what's with the wire arms?
Yeah, that is weird.
I don't know.
You know what's weirder?
It has no personality. It has nothing to it.
Why is that person wearing a poncho indoors over there? That's kind of weird.
Is that what you noticed? I didn't see. Okay. Where is he?
Yeah. So, right there, right there, like, right behind it.
Why wouldn't you?
Oh, there we go. It was raining.
She didn't want to take it off. Leave it alone, Stooge.
Why wouldn't you unveil a statue? Why wouldn't you do something for him that's way more memorable? Remember last year, they did a memorial. They retired his jersey, and Jackass Mahomes is over there dancing on the memorial and everything. So it's just terrible. Washington's done a terrible job trying to honor one of their best players. Yeah. Go ahead.
One of the things that has really stood out with the Commanders is how much they continue to grift Sean Taylor's name. It's kind of like what Arizona has done with Pat Tillman. If you look at how things have gone, especially as Fernando talked about last year with his ceremony, his retirement, like you had bathrooms in the background, and then you had, as he said, Jackson Mahomes dancing on his number. I mean, stop using his name if you're going to do it. And I get it. They talked to the family. They got him the cleats. But the jersey was a Nike jersey, which he's never used. You know, there's been other things, you know. Just make a nice statue. Like it seems like eventually you got to get rid of, you know, Daniel Snyder. It starts from the top down with the Commanders. 100%. You know, even the unveiling of the name everything, like, they've turned into the worst. Yeah, they turned into the worst franchise in the NFL.
The one right. that they didn't even try 100%. For was the Washington football team.
Oh, okay, cool.
I was going to say, the best thing they've done is the Washington football team. Should have kept that name, okay? That's what I want to say.
No, hell no, that name so sucks. Stupid.
The Commanders?
The problem is, it too, it's sucks. Like Vic said, right? It starts at the top. You know, all this is just PR moves. They're like, oh, they're investigating me for XYZ. Oh, here, let's change the name. There you go. Oh, you know, they want me to sell. They want me to do this. Da, 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 da. Okay, Sean Taylor Memorial and Statues. Here we go. Like, you can tell these are half-hearted things. Like, let's be real. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Coming from a guy who used to half-ass his homework and everything, I can tell when shit's when it's half-assed. That's half-assed. Dan,
the expert,
give us your burial. Who are you burying?
So I'm gonna have to tap into my like E moment right here. So forgive me for reducing my credibility, but I had to say it. I am so sick of Nick and Vanessa Lachey. They might make a good program. But it is so silly to me that these people on this program think they're so high. Oh, we're just trying to help people find love. Oh, that's absolute manure, dude. Like, they act like they're objective, but every single reunion, they pick a villain, and they're like, okay, let's just crap on this guy the whole time. We won't let him speak. We won't let him speak, but we'll let everybody else speak. They're cheerleaders. They're cheerleaders for them. Then the worst part is, what'd you say? Oh, yeah, like, Shake. My guy, dude, loves Shake. They were
get him on or what? The whole
time. I reached out. I'm going to reach out.
Okay.
Do it.
But
please do.
I agree with you, Dan and Dago. The host should be neutral, and they're always picking sides.
100%. It's disgusting. Then on top of that, you know, this is my favorite part. They made a new one now called, what is it, Ultimatum Bimbo or something like that? Oh.
Wait, is there a second one?
No, we're barely watching the first one.
Oh, I already see
it. It's only the first season. But it's like, what'd he say?
Ultimatum, I've seen it. It's like
he's already watched it.
You guys are behind.
Oh, I haven't finished it. No spoilers. I haven't finished it. But anyway, they think to themselves, oh, you know, what would be a good idea for a show? I got one. I got an idea for you. Here we go. This is going to make money, right? Let's take the most toxic six relationships or whatever we can find and put it on national television so it plays out to not only embarrass the people on it, but embarrass their families and the family name. It's absolutely disgusting. But here's my favorite part. They like, in my mind, they probably fabricate stories about themselves to, you know, make it relatable on the program. It's absolutely disgusting. It's just ridiculous. They try and paint themselves like high and mighty, pious people helping out these couples. You know, you want to get married, you don't. It's all garbage. It's all manure. It's grab-assery that shouldn't exist, and it's terrible.
And that is no grabbing ass with Dan and Diego.
That's right. No grab-assery.
No grab-assery. There we go.
All right.
I'm going to make a PhD program about it.
Now let's go to Dan and Diego and see what he's got cooking up with his promos next.
What another great program. Even though that stooge, that scumbag, Humberto, is always trying to interrupt your boy, but it's all good. It's all good. Do not forget to check out Combat Compass. There will be a new episode talking about, you know, WWE Survivor Series and other things in the combat world. You already know. And do not forget, on Wednesday, there is going to be a new Compass FC episode. We're just waiting to see how the Mexico game ends up in that group. And you already know, your boys in the USA are advancing. Let's freaking go! And let's get back to the program.
Thank you, Dan, for that. Always good stuff. I know Hilberto enjoys watching that. So definitely some good stuff. All right. So obviously, over the weekend, our Vic the producer, who's a movie buff, loves going to the movies. He checked out Onion Glass Film. Vic, good movie? Recommended?
Yes. Yes. Knives Out 2. Go and check it out. It's going to come out on Netflix, but we went to go see it in the movie theater because we wanted to go support Rian Johnson. So, yes. Ooh, very awesome. Good movie.
So obviously that movie contains Dave Bautista, former WWE wrestler. There's been a transition of a lot of wrestlers moving over and getting into acting. I mean, we've seen it with numerous cases. Now, even some of the other wrestlers like Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks and all these people are starting to make their way over to Hollywood. So is Roman Reigns, Gilbert Tribal Chief. So I got to ask you guys, I'll start off with Vic. Who is your favorite wrestler turned actor?
Okay, so I'm going to start off by giving you a little hip-hop reference here. Like, if you know who Rick Ross is, you know that he's great. Wow. He's not a great rapper, but he's great at picking producers who know how to make good beats, and he has tremendous beats. So for me, it's Dave Bautista because, you know, he knows himself. He knows that he's not a great actor, and so he's been able to pick really good roles. And you've seen it with as we saw when you guys check out the Onion Glass. He's also as Drax has been really good. Stuber was funny. He's charismatic and. He's been able to pick really good roles. So for me, it's Dave Bautista.
I wish the Rock Dan? Would self-scout and stick to what he knows best too.
Dan?
Stone Cold Steve Austin, that Texas Rattlesnake. Two movies that I love that he's in. Freaking Longest Yard and The Condemned. Great movie. Love the wrestler. Not a scumbag. Doesn't say yes to everything like some other wrestlers. I love him. I love watching him.
Gilbert?
Yeah, that other wrestler is a superstar box office attraction named The Rock Dwayne Johnson. Rocky, damn, what's his Mafia? Okay, some fan I am, right? His first thing that came out. Rocky Mafia. My bad, whatever. It was awful. That's why he's The Rock. But The Rock has a lot of great movies. I haven't watched Black Adam, some fan I am, right? But I am a big fan of The Rock. He is the best on the microphone and the best actor.
He's not the best on the microphone. In front of that John Cena guy. John Cena served his ass up when they rivaled each other.
Didn't.
Pull up the tape. Check the tape.
Cena. I was going to go with John Cena. I love watching John Cena in movies.
Another one who says yes to everything. Great.
No, but I think John Cena's really showed his range. He can do funny movies. He can do serious movies. He can go from being Dom's brother to making sure his daughter doesn't lose her virginity on prom night. Have you seen that one, Gilbert?
Wait, what?
Yeah, you've seen the movie Blockers?
No.
Yeah. Hot Blockers.
I have actually. Yeah, it was actually pretty funny. Yeah.
The one. Yeah, so. The kids,
right?
Him and the other two try and not have their daughters lose their virginities on prom night. So John Cena showed his range. I think John can do a lot of different things, and that's why. I feel like he is
Ronaldo.
I'll say this: he was great in Peacemaker. That's when he changed my mind in terms of being an actor.
He's done a lot of good projects.
You want to see where he's actually good? You want to see where he's actually good? Watch Legendary with him. That's the only movie I say, wow, that was good and a good performance by him.
Dan and Diego, let me deliver my joke here because I don't get off enough jokes on this program here. But Fernando, you forgot Ronda Rousey's Oscar-winning performance in Fast and the Furious.
Hey, she's know what's happening
garbage. In all facets of the game, right, she's garbage.
You want to know what's happening on Twitter right now? Do you know what's trending? Hashtag fire Ronda Rousey.
Whoa.
WWE fans want her gone. They want her out. I'm not the only one.
Why would they tire her angry face?
Yo. Oh, my God. You should see her in the ring. She grabs the girl. Do you want me to break her arm? I can break her arm. I'll break her arm. I'm like, get out of here. Like,
all right, keep it going.
All right. Steven Spielberg, who is obviously from my alma mater, Go Beach or 49ers or whatever the hell they are now, the Sharks, has a new film out, The Fablemans. He went to Long Beach.
The Long Beach State something not offensive mascot.
Oh my God.
There it is.
Offensive now. The Fablemans, that's out in theaters now. It's an autobiography of his life. What is your favorite Spielberg movie? I'll start with Vic. Dun-dun.
Dun-dun. Oh, this one's easy for me. It's Jaws, man. You can't beat that. That was one of his first films. The shark comes out, and everybody was afraid to go to the ocean after that movie came out. So, yeah, for me, it's Jaws.
Well, you were in high school when that movie came out, right, Victor?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm the old man.
Gilbert, what's your favorite movie?
There's many to choose from. I actually know some of his movies, so I'm not terrible here.
Surprising.
Thank you. But after I dubbed Jurassic Old Dominion, what is it called? World Dominion, the best movie. World Dominion, the best movie of 2022.
By the way, I found out that it's the second highest grossing film of the year behind Top Gun. So there you go.
People like me are true fans because the original Jurassic Park, the first one, 1994.
The world is filled with idiots. I don't know what to tell you.
this is my time. When the long neck dinosaur comes out from the little hill, it's such a beautiful sight. There you go. Great movie. Can't go wrong with Jurassic Park.
Dan,
there's only one movie, Saving Private Ryan. There's no other better film that he's ever made.
It's pretty good.
I know.
But actually, there is.
Power through.
There is a better movie.
We
tell him, Fernando.
Work the problem. We're
fix your Wi-Fi.
Part of the solution.
It's just him, right? Not me.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
Let's see if we should all do the robot.
Come back. He's already frozen in the backstage.
Mine's Back to the Future. I like Back to the Future. I think it's I love all three movies. I think all three movies are fantastic. I think they really did a really good job with all those. I think it's obviously, I didn't know how much fandom there was towards it, but I've seen like group chats and stuff and all this stuff where people are like, they collect stuff from it and people still make the DeLorean cars. I saw one in LA one time. I remember pulled up right next to me and it did the whole smoke and everything. Like it looked like the DeLorean from the movie, did the whole smoke and everything. It was amazing. So definitely a great movie. But Vic, we appreciate you. Thank you so much. It's time now for Una Mas. Anything you want to say before you head out?
No, went to also check out The Menu, another good movie. Highly recommend it. Anna Joy Taylor, awesome in it. What's his name? Voldemort is in it too. He's great. So yeah, go and check that one out as well.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Vic.
Thank you. Who's Anna Joy Taylor and who's Rob Johnson? Sorry.
All right. So obviously I told you before we started that boxing was going to get in the middle of the World Cup. And why is that? It is because Canelo Alvarez is not happy, Gilbert.
Mm.
Do you know why?
Defending the country, the homeland.
So Canelo Alvarez is
homelander in Mexico. Sorry,
he sent out this tweet, and I'll translate. So it says, "Vieron a Messi limpiar el piso con nuestra playera y bandera." Basically saying, "Did you guys see Messi?"
Why do you do it in a Mexican accent too? That's great.
Okay, well, yeah, he's like he's basically asking, "Did you guys see Messi wipe the floor with our jersey and our flag?" And yeah, people were like, "What is?" People are like, what is he talking about? Well, here's the video.
I didn't know that either. I saw the tweet. I'm like, what is he talking about?
So here's the video that he's talking about, that Messi supposedly wiped the floor with the Mexican jersey. Here it is. Right there. So for the people that aren't watching, the jersey is on the ground. Messi does step on it. But he kicks it. So that's not a good look. I understand that. But if you notice, and then hold on. So then Canelo, people started chiming back at Canelo. Well, Canelo sends out this next tweet. He puts, que le pida Dios que no me lo encuentre. He better pray to God that I don't find him. So, it was angry emoji, fire emoji.
Look at that comment.
And so he wasn't happy about it. So then some people start getting involved. I got plenty of these tweets. So then more people. David Faitelson from ESPN in Espanol, he tweets out, "Dejan pasa Messi, concéntrate en Bibol. Leave Messi alone, concentrate in Bibol." And then Canelo goes, "Tú y él juntos pinche ser," and then so basically he said, "You two guys are pieces of," and you can basically imagine what he's saying. So then other people come out, and
he's like the Stephen A. Smith of Mexican media, huh? ESPN.
Yeah, he basically is. So then here comes another tweet where Faisono be. So then he goes, "Bueno amigo, conmigo sí." Mi seguro no me. Basically saying, I'm still on Bivol. What's up with that? When are you gonna fight him? And then he's like, so basically, he's cursing at him.
Just read it.
What of it? Oh, like so he's basically that. so basically, David calls him a coward for not putting a date for going and trying to fight with Messi instead of fighting Bivol. So then, Canelo goes, "Cobarde tú, cabrón, porque cuando me tienes enfrente eres un ángel." So basically saying, MF-er, you're a coward. When you have me face to face, you're always such an angel and you're always so nice. So obviously now Canelo's picking fights. So then Sergio Agüero, who is a former teammate of Messi's in the Argentinian team. He tells El Kun Agüero, he tells Canelo, you don't be looking for excuses or problems. You don't know what happens in a locker room. The jerseys are dirty, they're stinky, they're sweaty, and we're waiting for somebody to come and pick them up. They then wash them, they dry them, they air dry them, and then they put them in so that we can hang them or take them home. So then Canelo doesn't stop there. Canelo then goes, and he goes and he talks about him, and then he goes, "Tú también, cabrón. Me escribes, ay, ay, Canelo, y ahora mamando. No seas hipócrita, cabrón." So basically, he's saying, he's like, "You shut up. You also shut up." He's like, "You always write me, oh Canelo, and all of a sudden, you wanna write me all pissed off and stuff." He's like, "Don't be a hypocrite." So it's all this. I've been following it a little bit, but this song has been hilarious. I don't know what you think of it.
With the whole jersey thing, come on. How does a Mexico jersey get into the Argentina locker room? And how does it just magically on his foot?
So Messi must have exchanged it with another player from Mexico.
Okay.
So and Messi what, had it in his hand. Messi must have, you put it on the ground because the locker, remember, those lockers have your clothes and all this other stuff.
You're buying it. There was an accident.
I'll say it's an. I mean, no. I don't think
he had a little kick at the end.
Yeah, but I mean, if you let me go back to the video, I don't know because, like, to me, okay. It's not really. I don't see it as that much of an issue. I don't know why.
Yeah, but I don't. To Canelo, it definitely was, and I don't know why he's trying to pick fights with somebody who could easily beat up.
So, like, if you look, well, everybody else. I don't know. He's standing on it.
Yeah, come on. Hey there.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that is or not because, like, I don't know if he's disrespecting it or if it's just really it is because
he's standing on it, right? He's like celebrating and standing on it.
Yeah.
It could be an accident. I don't know. And then that. Okay.
I don't know. I just don't see it as like a big. I guess I don't see it as a big deal.
When you said the jersey exchange, at least to me, it wasn't like they threw a jersey and they're okay, let's have fun with it and mess around with it.
It was No, it was just
they were
just celebrating.
I guess. I don't know. But as a Mexican American, I guess I'm not that pissed off, but it's funny to see this drama unfold. And Canelo Samete, I don't know why, but thank you for defending the country. Because the sorry thing
Canelo,
do it.
Canelo, if you're really all about it, then fly to Qatar and go face to face with Messi.
Where's Messi? Messi.
Donde está Leo Messi?
Yeah, he's Portugal and Mexico.
He's had okay games. Wait until he faces real competition. Let's see how he really does.
Oh, ouch.
But,
You're Mexican. Trash. Come on.
Mexico's trash. They've been cowards. So bad. They haven't scored a goal since the second game of the last time they were in the group stage. That's embarrassing. You're not even scoring. Whatever.
Is this a preview of Compass FC?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, if my voice holds up, that's been kind of an issue.
I've been waiting for the recap, but okay.
I know, but that's been the problem. My voice has been kind of iffy these last few days, but we're powering through. Gilbert, obviously, you guys are doing great stuff over on House of Horns. This week, the Seattle Seahawks come to the Rams, I believe.
Yes, sir.
So, there you go. So check out House of Horns. I know that the season's kind of here and there, but obviously you and Vic have some great stuff. Check that out. Dan and Dago and I will be doing What's Up Bolts this week. We'll be seeing who we get on the show. It'll be interesting to see what the Chargers, if they're able to stop Josh Jacobs this weekend. Are they able to slow down Davante Adams? That'll be interesting. Obviously, we will be doing Compas FC this week, recapping everything that's going on in these group stage. At the end of the group stages, this week is going to be very interesting. Will Mexico be able to advance? We won't know. Everything's going to be very interesting this week. Such a great week in soccer, World Cup soccer. I know Vic obviously didn't like it, but hey, I'm still enjoying it. I still love watching it. But I agree with Vic that it shouldn't be at this time. It shouldn't be halfway through the year. But hey, if it is right now, what better Christmas gift than a little bit extra soccer? I know Gilbert loves soccer. Don't forget to check out Combat Compas. Like, subscribe. Thank you guys so much for checking us out. We appreciate it. My voice is starting to go, so I'm going to let Gilbert take this one. Gilbert, sabes que vámonos.
Yes, I've only watched two soccer games in the World Cup, one being the Americans, tying with the English people, the Mexicans against Argentina. Not the best result. Maybe so I'm
tying
the
it out. I'm watching.
Yeah. But yeah, on that note, definitely check out Compas FC and check out Combat Compas, regular Compas on the beat. What's up, Boats? House of Horns? But yeah, now we got to go on to week 13. Let's go. Vamos. Ya nos vamos, pues vámonos.